Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Owens?
Here.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Here.
Councilmember Taylor? Okay, Councilmember Taylor's absent.
He texted that he'd be a few minutes late.
Oh, okay, thank you. Councilmember Makowiak?
Here.
Councilmember Lewis?
Here.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Here.
And Mayor Taylor?
Here.
All right, all council members are present and a quorum exists.
Okay, we'll move on to our vision statement, and Councilmember Lewis has agreed to read our vision statement this evening.
We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources, with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Thank you. The first item on the agenda is approval of the minutes. We have the minutes from the general meeting of June 19 and the special meeting of June 26. And we have a motion to approve from Councilmember Owen.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Mayor. I move to approve by unanimous consent the June 16th, 2023 general meeting minutes and the June 26th, 2023 special meeting minutes.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
I have a correction to that. It's the June 19th.
Right, June 19th, 2023 general meeting. Right. Okay. Okay, it's been moved and second moved by Councilmember Owen. Second, approve the general meeting minutes for June 19, 2023, and the special meeting for June 26, 2023. The minutes have been previously distributed. Do any members of the public wish to offer any additions or corrections to the minutes as they're presented? Okay, seeing none, do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes? Thank you all for reading them. Okay, are there any objections to approval by unanimous consent? Okay, hearing none, the minutes of the two meetings are approved by unanimous consent. We move on to mayor's request for agenda changes. And tonight we do have an agenda change. We had item 11 was an executive session with a discussion with our city attorney. And I am removing that item from the agenda per the request of the city attorney. We'll reschedule at such time as he thinks is ready. Are there any other requests for anything to be reordered or anything in the agenda? Any other changes? Okay, no, then we'll consider the agenda set then without item 11, the executive session item. And we'll move on to staff reports. And we begin with a report from our volunteer fire department, Chief Sol Martinez.
Thank you, everyone. Quite a few things happened somewhat. Just in April, the fire season did start. Ice for us as the start of the fire permit. Just let you know, if you need a fire permit, feel free to come to the fire hall. I'll be able to print one out. It's also online. You just need to look up because it was Alaska burn permits on the Forest Service website. However, you do not need a burn permit if you need a if you have a campfire less than 3 feet in diameter, you don't need a camp burn permit for that as well. Anything bigger, you do need a burn permit of some sorts. The small scale burn permit only covers a certain amount, and I believe that's like 4 foot by 4 foot by 4 foot. It's pretty small. Brush piles and burn barrels and stuff. It is explained in the burn permit itself. We did have a successful health fair. I think it was explained in the council member at the council meeting afterwards. So thank you for all the help. At the time, I did start working on become an EMT-1 instructor, which I actually did receive and get, so I can teach up to EMT-1. It includes ETT as well. And yeah, as far as anyone who wants a naloxone kit, or also known as Narcan kits, basically if someone has a drug overdose, we can that's what you will give them. We can hand them out. There is a little bit like a 5-10 minute training for it. It is anonymous. So I don't write any names down. I just keep track of how many I do hand out. And then we had discussions with Sarup Toth. I apologize if I mispronounced her name. Who is with Aware, and just kind of go over how we can make a community a little bit safer. The number for Aware is on my code report. If anybody needs their assistance, feel free to give them a call. Coming in May, we work on the tower more quickly. I'm finally glad to say I'm 99.9% sure we have all the parts and ready to install it. The only way I can get the 100.01% is we build it. That's hopefully we put in the back of the tower along with a new cable and new antenna, which hopefully will expand the shrinking distance that we did. We were experiencing the last 5 or so years. Again, the meetings with the Gustavus Social and Health and Safety did happen with Tanya, Councilmember Lewis there. Also in June, we finally sold the engine 27. That engine is no longer the city Gustavus or the fire departments. So if you see it driving around doing donuts, it's not us. Like I said, again, I finally finished the EMT-1 instructor license. So I'm able to teach EMT-1. I'm not gonna be teaching EMT-1 classes this year. Probably will be waiting next year. There's a class I'm gonna co-host or co-teach with Lucy Tate here in October, hopefully, before I teach one of my own. And then I did attend a Serum's EMS conference virtually that happened in Craig, just a series of classes that offered, one of which was mental health, first aid, and some other items. And also then I also helped with the 4th of July Association fundraising efforts. Thank you everyone who actually helped, not only with purchasing a burger or to also help with the 4th of July itself. It was a very successful and safe 4th of July. Other than that, I recommend it. Mm-hmm. Yep, no questions.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Chief Martinez? Congratulations on finishing up your EMT-1 instructor thing. That's great. So, was there a question? No questions. Okay. Well, thank you, Sol. We'll move on to the Marine Facilities Quarterly Report from Marine Facilities Coordinator Larry Platt. Welcome, Larry.
Hello, everybody. Start off, something that's not on the report from today. We lost two signs that posted signs for no vehicles and no camping. And one sign also, there was actually three signs. One was posted on a log. Two were on 4x4 posts. Completely gone, disappeared, not tossed into the woods or anything. That was a great way to start a Monday. Put the one sign up just last Thursday, you know, so it also had the dog poop bags on it and disappeared. So we've been having some issues. The illegal roads, the illegal road was made out to the new fire pit. You can see it plain as day just to the town side of the big turnout across from the fuel tanks. I ended up putting just a rope barricade across there, temporary. We have logs going in place to continue the log boom going down the road all the way to the end of the city property, I guess, to where debris are starting. But I have issues. I knew about them before I took the job. We have issues with the trash, people dumping their home garbage in there. It's not that big a deal. Hasn't been too out of hand, except for today. It's full of packs of herring and pink salmon. Big trash can full of pink salmon and rotten. Oh. Yeah, so that was kind of bogus. Did find a couple kind of researching possibilities where it could have come from, basically. So just stop at that. And let's see. Oh, from the first day I started, charter boat operators were complaining their inflatables were being punctured using the skip float. So I was like, oh, that. I looked around. I don't see anything sticking out that's going to puncture the skip floats. I made it a Friday task to go around and hammer in nails and kind of give it an inspection. But I don't really understand how that could be happening. Barnacles? I don't know. Maybe along the edge where you cannot see because it's underwater. Something down there. I was thinking I could take like a little skip, feel it or something. I don't know. Might do that, you know, or a kayak or something. But a lot of the skiff owners got smart and they started just tying their inflatables off on the inside of the floating dock. And yeah, that's probably the best thing they could do. I like to say that the charter boat operators have been very nice and great to work with. I go down there every morning at 6, except for on my days off, and off and on, I go surprise in the evening or something. I go down there and they give me input and they tell me about issues that they've noticed. And I mean, it seems like they're doing my job sometimes. But they've been great, actually. That was not what I was expecting. I'm just going to brief through this. You can read it on your own. There was they did okay, a new fire pit, which is just inside the trees near the our fancy fire pit with the D1 gravel, you know, down the beach, just inside the trees. Made another fire pit because people like to drive across the strawberries and just have a fire, you know, illegal fires over there. And we thought maybe we can, you know, work with them and give them their own little fire pit to use. So far, I don't think anybody's used it. It's been at least 3.5 weeks, you know, since I made that. So it's not as much fun to use a regular fire pit as it is an illegal one, I guess. I don't know. But keep finding like motorcycle tracks going out there and people drive, people drove out there on the 4th of July. And yeah, that's an ongoing thing that we're dealing with, basically. The toilets were pumped on 629. Mm-hmm. Isn't that exciting? Evidence of the thing. You know, it's not that easy of a job a lot of times, cleaning the bathrooms. People actually go in there and dump their honey buckets in there, you know. It goes all over the place, you know. So when I'm cleaning the bathroom sometimes, you know, give me a shout out. Thanks, Larry, because I might be cleaning that out. You know, yeah,
right.
It's awful. Yeah. We did hang some signs. I hung some signs. No, it was kind of hard to pick a sign because it said no dumping, but kind of what it says. No rubbish and something, you know, maybe that'll help. No, I mean, because when the guy pumped it out, there was a lot of beer cans and trash in there.
Oh.
So, yeah. I'm not going to go into, what happened with the beer cans and the trash. Ended up in the trash cans because I guess the guy didn't really want to take them with him, you know, or something. So I had to clean that out. You know what would be nice is a lockable cleaning locker in around those bathrooms just so I don't have to haul stuff all around. Just maybe something, just a locker inside with a lock on it or something or whatever. That would make my job a little easier. But I don't know if that's what you guys decide or not. I don't know, you know, but. And Boat Harbor, I'm working on the, all I have to do is form up a, for concrete forms, and we can put the new fish waste trash can. There's also two other trash and recycling containers. So there's, two trash, two recycling, and a fish waste. It's going to be like an 8-foot cement pad, at least 8 feet by 4 feet. But if I get that ready, Paunch or the Marchbanks will, you know, pour the concrete when they have some leftover on a job or something like that. And then we can basically, we have to bolt them down into the concrete and get those in operation. It would be nice to get some water somehow. I think I could make it work for a while without water, you know, buckets, but it's going to be fish waste, you know. Bears are going to be sniffing that out. And I think it needs to be kept very clean, you know, that area. And lots of bleach and water, I guess. We'll see how that works, actually. And I'm gonna put it right by the dock shed or the Boat Harbor shed, kind of close to that. If somehow we do get water, there's electricity there. Might be in that area is where the water is going to be, and we don't have to run too long of a line. Marchbanks also said we could run a line from the DRC office. It's 300 feet. So he said that might be cheaper than doing a whole new well, because wells are very expensive these days, you know, $5,000 or something, you know, that 300 feet of water line from the office. But I talked to Ian about it, and he says, that water's just like black mud or something. So maybe that isn't such a good idea. You know, I don't know. Okay, let's see, what other big project do I have? I might build a roof extension off the that little shed for outdoor storage, because it's so small, there's not a lot of room. I've been looking at flipping around one of the floats in the old dock float that blew apart, you know, in the storms. Kind of sitting the wrong way. It's the only usable side has all these giant connectors on it, steel. You can't even hardly park your boat up against it. But if we just spun it around 180, it would make a lot more parking spaces, you know. And there's a couple of people interested in possibly helping me to do that if we ever get to it. But I wrote down things that I've been doing because I didn't want anybody to think I wasn't doing anything. So you can read the rest of it on your own, and that's about all I have to say.
Okay.
All right.
You can see Larry has been really busy, and I really appreciate your diligence and your new ideas for things. And I know it's frustrating having to deal with people tearing down what you try to do in the way of putting up a sign and that sort of thing. And I really appreciate your patience in that, and we'll continue to work through it. And I appreciate all your other good ideas. We'll by all means work with Kathy on whatever you need to accomplish those projects.
Yeah, you guys feel my pain also. Yeah. I know that.
any questions for Larry? Yeah.
Larry. Hello. I have two questions. One is what's going to happen with fish waste? And then the second is would it be possible to use salt water to sluice off the area?
Well, the fish waste, what's going to happen is I'm going to deal with it every day. I mean, I'm not going to let it sit in there. I will check it every day. And if there's a fish in there or a few, what I'm going to do is go to the DRC, get the bobcat. If you open up the fish waste container, basically two trash cans in there. So, I mean, I don't know how anybody's going to get a 200-pound halibut in there, but you can break them up a little bit. And I'm going to put the trash cans in the bobcat bucket, take it over to the DRC, and they do something with it. They're going to dump it in the compost, I think, into the compost, I'm pretty sure. And whatever cleaning I will do after that. As far as salt water, there's no salt water around there. It's a river. So, I mean, high tide is a little salty on the bottom, I guess. It would be nice to have some water over there. We had an idea of just having a spigot in case, I could use it to wash it out, wash the area off. And maybe boaters could use it to wash their boat off, like an extra courtesy, something to give not potable water, boat wash / worry about the bears are going to be sniffing that out quite a bit. So the plan would be a daily clean out of that. And I don't, it's not going to be, there's not going to be fish in there every day. Maybe once in a while. That's what I would think, but it gives people the opportunity or a place to throw it instead of into the river.
Yeah.
That's going to attract bears even more, when they do that. We've had that problem in the past, right? That's why we got the fish waste. So maybe I didn't answer your question.
Did you have another one? Second
one? Okay. Yeah, we have a good,
thanks.
We have a pretty good plan for it, I think. Yeah.
What about, would there be any possibility of any kind of a rain catchment system for water collection?
There is a possibility of that. Yeah, I've thought about it. What we got now, probably not going to catch very much rain. But if I build a 10-foot extension off the roof, that would probably, I'm sure I could fill up some barrels. Put a rain gutter on there and you'd be able to fill up a few barrels.
And then I'm thinking about your locker for the cleaning the restrooms. And if we down the line end up with a storage shed for the beach wheelchairs, potentially those lockers, you could use that same structure to put your cleaning supplies in.
Yeah.
We could start with some sort of locker though that we could put right in the restrooms and so easily.
Yeah, because I get in there and then I go, oh, I forgot the bleach wipes, and then drive back. Yeah. And then everybody's like, why do you drive back and forth? I'm like, it's a long story.
Any other questions for Larry? Okay, thanks for your report and all the great stuff you got going. And we'll move on to our city treasurer, Ben Sadler, for the monthly financials. Ben?
Thank you, Mike. I'll be doing both my reports, is that correct? Not just the financials?
Sure.
My quarterly report as well. They kind of go together, and since Larry took up most of the meeting, I'll just say that I don't really have anything to add. I did put in my report that we closed out FY23 up 15% expected revenue and at 81.4% of our expected expenditures. So that's good. We do still have a few more invoices trickling in, so that'll change, but only very slightly. And I was also able to get the payment portal set up on the website. So community members or businesses can pay their sales tax, their DRC fees, or anything that we offer that costs money, you can now go to the website and pay it there. And that's it, unless anyone has any questions.
Wow. Any questions on our financials?
Oh. So we have more money than we thought we'd have carrying over, right?
We have more money that we could carry over. We've made more money than we expected, and we spent less money than we expected, but we haven't necessarily rolled that over into this year or anything. It's okay. Just money that's in the bank at the moment. It will need to go somewhere.
Okay. How much more than was originally? Is it the 212,000?
It's down at the bottom of the, at the end of the profit and loss, the $532,339. So, and then you have to take out the 300,000 that they rolled over from the previous year as well. So it's $232,339.44.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Okay, thanks for keeping our books in such good order and getting the checks paid quickly. And I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Mike.
It's a mark of good financial performance here. And we'll move on to City Administrator Kathy Leary.
Good evening. Thank you. So we've had a fairly busy month as we continue to be short-staffed. We've been waiting on City Hall customers while attending to our other tasks. And thanks again to everyone for pitching in and cross-covering each other, including for janitorial, as John Sanchez has been out with an injured knee, but he's back effective this week. And I would like to thank Ben for the online payment system that he's been working really diligently on, because we've been looking at trying to do that for quite a while now, and it's finally coming to fruition. He's got a few bugs to work out, I think, but I think it's going to be way convenient for our citizenry to be able to conduct business that way. A septage update. Trevor Richards from Juno Septic has made 4 trips as of this report, using the small truck to pump individual households and other systems, and has turned around 4,000 or 4,500 gallon truckloads, plus 2 or 3 small truckloads on the ferry. So they've taken out lots of stuff. That's at least 20,000 gallons removed from the tanks, with more still being in the tanks waiting to be removed. So it's working so far. We'll see. I haven't heard as many "when are they getting to us" calls as we once had. So I'm happy about that. We did receive a notice of intent to award that our capital improvement project planning grant application for the septic tank project and septic treatment in the community in general. It was reviewed by Village Safe Water and approved for funding. So that grant funding of $88,000 will be provided by Village Safe Water in partnership with the USDA Rural Development. And the information and award documents, I was told, will be provided as soon as possible, but I don't know when that is. So I'm sure Jim will talk more about the Safe Roads for All, but Safe Streets and Roads for All. But Jim, leading and consultant Curtis Fincher providing guidance, we worked to submit the Safe Streets and Roads for All planning grant, which was a lengthy process and required a lot of sort of onerous federal forms with a maximum 2-page project summary. So we'll see if we are successful. DOT expects to obligate the funding and grant agreement within 12 months after the awards have been announced. So Jim took the lead on that, and we got it in, what, 2 hours before the deadline? I spent considerable time researching and gathering documents needed by our attorney for various legal issues. I've updated a Healthy Communities funding request twice now. So DCCED in that Healthy Communities component, which covered the radio tower, which is covering the playground equipment ostensibly, and the mobility devices, came out and said, oh, we still have money left. Do you have some environmental component that you would like to get funded? And so I said, yes, we have a need for a vehicle for our DRC and Larry. I put that all together, and apparently they got way too many requests for the amount of money they had. So they just said they're not going to fund any in the environmental component, but that they would still fund some in the health and safety component. So back to the drawing board, Sol had put in a project funding scoping document for the Wildland fire truck. And I asked her if we could use that, since that was health and safety. And she said, yes, we could put that in. Now, I don't know if we'll get that funded, because it was probably $40,000 more than the other truck request, but it was worthwhile putting in just in case. So that was submitted. And that was also part of the CIP project nomination process earlier this year. So I continued to attend the office hours meetings with Alaska Municipal League. It's really helpful to be able to ask questions where the more knowledgeable folks can get to us, back to us with clarifying information. We find out a lot of things that are either valid or not valid for us to be pursuing. Just past Tuesday, the USDA liaison for Southeast Alaska let us know about the grants and loans and is looking to see if the fire department's eligible to apply for funding for their water tender through their community facilities direct loan and grant program. So don't know if that'll happen, but they're looking stuff up for us. And you guys approved the scoping document last August for that. So as we learn of these opportunities, I've been kind of, Mayor and I met with Superintendent Ralph Watkins regarding possible support for a continuing preschool program with the CSD in light of the governor vetoing $87 million from the proposed education budget and lowering the base student allocation that the bipartisan legislature had worked really hard on. It's preliminary at this point because he doesn't have the district's final budget numbers. There's a lot of unknowns in the funding, a schedule, or a number of students, but Karen McSpadden is also working on trying to get that information. So I made a report with the Alaska State Troopers with photos. I spoke with Trooper Lemieux, who was in Gustavus, about all the vandalism that's been occurring and the illegal motorized vehicle use on the beach, which Larry already filled you in on. Culvert collar. So I gathered and sent pictures off to Trooper Lemieux, and he's going to work with his sergeant to see where we're at with that. and what the potential outcomes could be as a result if we could prove who was doing it. Created and executed a contract extension for FY24 to Alaska Technical Services, who is our IT systems contractor. Also created and executed a professional services agreement for FY24 with John Barry of Novell Engineering for his continued project management and compliance reporting. And Ben continues to mentor Larry and help Larry out. And Larry's been setting up the shed and working on projects besides being at the dock and the boat harbor. We're still waiting for construction to begin on the library shelter projects. Materials are ordered, but they're slow. We planned, shopped, and pulled up Paul's retirement party, which I'm told was a hit. And thanks to all who helped and for Sol, who manned the barbecue for hours and hours and hours. We reviewed the National Forest receipt appropriations, potential changes where the recipient has options of a different type of funding that's allocated and it's in statute, but it's way, way, way less than the bucket that is appropriated every year. So we left it as status quo to keep it in the same format and continue to use it for road maintenance. So basically we've been pretty busy, and I don't know if you guys have seen it, but sadly it didn't work out for our city clerk choice, who we swore in. And so we posted a new job opening today for that position. So
thank you.
That's my report.
So much going on and so much to thank you for. Any questions for our city administrator and all this stuff?
Microphone just for the people at home, but quick point of clarification on just my curiosity here on the National Forest receipts, so that I understand this. We had the potential to alter the way that we received payment, but we decided to just keep it the same. So you shouldn't expect any major budget change to that program based on our decision.
So, except for last year, it was always, you could always have a choice between waiting for an appropriation or being guaranteed a certain amount that was allocated to different regions based on roads, but it's a fraction of, like, we could take that and it's a for sure thing, but it'll be like 60% less than we get through, depending on appropriations to get approved. And, you know, they've threatened to not appropriate before. They've been cut before. They've always been back at it in. So it's a gamble. But the amount we would get instead by taking the other route would, I mean, we could make it up somewhere else if we didn't get it. You know what I mean? If we only got 12,000 versus 47,000, that would be guaranteed. Yeah. It's worth the gamble to just keep doing it the way we were doing it.
Yeah. Understood. Thank you for the clarification.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Shelley?
With regard to the talking with the city attorney about various legal issues, other than the settlement issue that will be going into executive session, can you describe what the other legal matters are that he's researching for us?
Documentation for different issues having to do with that, having to do with you know, some of the questions about what options are for ordinance and for the vandalism stuff that's going on, and sending him that information. Just, you know, any clarification from him about, but mostly the settlement required a lot of research and finding things that I wasn't here for before. So I had to research about.
I know we're not, we don't really have like law enforcement here, but are we able to issue a citation for breaking our ordinance? Is that a certain different type of city that has, do you have to be like a higher city?
I don't believe, I haven't checked in detail. Like we do for violations on the pier and down on the floats, there is something in ordinance that states what we could do. There isn't anything that I could find about the beach because we don't own the beach. We're just managing the beach. So it's a state issue, and we would have to, first of all, you'd have to prove it. Second of all, we'd have to, I think the troopers would have to issue anything that went forward on something like that. Okay. Yeah.
I think I can add something to that. Whatever we do, we can only do in civil court. We can, so it's a civil case that we would have to take to Juneau civil court. And if they were fined by the court, then we'd have to try to collect it. So since we don't have our own police operation and everything, it makes it a little more difficult. But we are looking into understanding what our options are. And the troopers can, if there is a crime, it makes no difference whether, you know, we own the property there, the crime occurs on or not. They can enforce state law on things. So we're looking at what our options are for using, you know, the troopers for getting some people's attention, I guess. Hope we don't have to get into anything really heavy duty, but we'd rather not. So any other questions? Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit more about the conversation with the superintendent about the preschool? And when you say regarding possible support and any details?
Well, I mean, and he had admittedly stated he wasn't exactly prepared because I had some questions about what it was exactly that he was looking for. And I said we would also have to look at, before when we took on the responsibilities of social responsibilities, when like Aaron would present a budget to the council, it was for both entities. Once the entities split off, and I did some time talking to her about it, the Rookery split up with their own budget, and then the school took over the preschool piece. And there's some question as to whether that really needs to be 5 days a week developmentally. They're not necessarily serving three-year-olds. What would it look like? How much would they be looking for? What kind of base student allocation dollars are brought in for those students? So there's a lot of details to work out, but I think they're looking for some support in light of the budget cuts. So that's all I know right now until we can. I looked up the last amount that was allocated to the Children's Enhancement Program from the city was $13,000.
That's good summary. He mentioned there are two schools in the district that have preschool programs. I think the other is Klawak. Was that right?
Klawak is the other Klawak, one. Sorry. And the tribe helps support that there.
They have some funding. They have actually quite a bit of funding they can apply. And he was looking at whether they could roll over some money from a grant to cover some of it. And he just asked if there was a possibility that the city could maybe supplement if necessary to make the program work. And we asked him for a proposal to that end and said that we agree that preschool is really an important thing. And we have some capability to supplement if the council approves the funding. So he'll be giving us a proposal, I hope. And we hope that the program will be able to keep it going. Any other questions for Kathy?
Okay. A clarification. Sure. When you said the grant was going through for the playground equipment, did that include the beach wheelchair things as well?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I was told that they didn't see any problem. They're just waiting for the paperwork to send us. That's what I was told, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Show us the money, as they say. But we will appreciate whatever we can get. Okay, that brings us to public comment on non-agenda items. This public comment period is for non-agenda items only and is not intended for discussion. The council may ask clarifying questions only. If you would like to make public comment on non-agenda items at this time, either raise your hand if you're here in the room or raise your hand icon on this on the screen if you're on Zoom. Yeah. And if you do not have that option, you're on the phone, unmute your phone and the clerk will add you to the list and remute you when it's your turn to speak. Please state your full speaking. Your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. Of course, we will be respectful in our language. You'll have another opportunity at the end of the period for a second opportunity for public comment. So do any members of the public wish to make comments on non-agenda item? We have a member of the public here in the room. Would you like to step up to the mic over here, please?
My name is Jaylene Samora. I was just wondering where that little campfire is. The one that you guys made for the public use. Yeah.
Okay. I'll answer that, even though we don't normally answer questions in this.
Oh, but, okay. I'm so sorry.
But no, that's okay. We're glad that you are interested in that. And yes, there is a second campfire site that's just inside the trees. If you were following the new hardened path out just before you get to the newly made campfire site with the, you know, at the end of the hardened pathway, there over in the trees to the right is another one that has traditionally been used at times. So Larry decided to, since people like to use that, we saw no reason not to improve it so that if people build a fire in there, it wouldn't spread off in the moss and the grass and so forth.
Okay,
you're welcome to enjoy it if you'd like.
Okay, thank you guys.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public wishing to make a comment on a non-agenda item? Okay, seeing none, we'll have another opportunity at the end of the meeting if something comes to mind. And we'll move on to ordinances for public hearing. Our next one is item 7. And this is FY24-01 NCO, Gustavus Visitors Association Budget Amendment. And this was to fund the movement, to provide them the extra funding so they could afford to move the kiosk, the welcome kiosk down on Dock Road so that it's not backed by the tank farm, but rather has behind it the view of the Fairweathers, at least in good weather. And so we've got a site all set up and they have a contractor, Gustavus Construction, prepared to do that work later this, actually beginning shortly, once we have the money approved. And we introduced the $5,400 last month as an NCO, and we have public hearing today for that. So let's begin with a motion from Councilmember Taylor to approve that, and then
point of order.
Public comment.
We have to do the public hearing first.
Public hearing first. Okay, sorry. I was looking at my. I was actually looking at the wrong part of the script here. So, do any members of the public wish to comment on this item before we have a motion? I opened public hearing at, would be what time, 7:49, but seeing none, we'll close it at 7:49 and bring it back to the council. And so now it's time for a motion from Councilmember Taylor.
I move to approve ordinance FY24-01 NCO. An ordinance for the city of Gustavus providing for the amendment of department budgets for fiscal year 2024.
Hey, do we have a second for that?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilmember Taylor and And seconded by Vice Mayor Bishop to approve FY24-01 NCO Davis Visitors Association budget amendment as introduced June 19, 2023. Do any council members have any comments on this item before we vote?
So, just to clarify, this is $5,400 to move the sign across the street. Is that basically it's to move the sign from one side of the street to the other?
Yes. And we were actually going to have it'll be an improved structure because we're doing a concrete pad underneath it that would be much cleaner and neater and look a lot. At the new site, and so that's a substantial, that concrete's a substantial amount of cost in this. Any other questions or comments on this? Okay, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes with all in favor.
Well, thank you. We'll get the word to Leah Oaken that she's got the extra money in her budget and she can give the notice to proceed to Gustavus Construction to get the project done. Okay, we'll move on to, now we go to new business, which has a different structure, order of events here. And the first is to approve disposal and recycling center pay increase. And this takes a little bit of explanation. Actually, I think rather than me explaining it, I'll ask our city administrator to give the explanation on this.
Every 5 years we renew the sort of a purchase order, if you will, from the Park Service to have them, it's a contract for them bringing their items to the DRC. I guess nobody ever noticed the small print before, but one of the documents that was attached to that is anybody who contracts with the federal government or either that or the Department of the Interior needs to follow certain wage standards, minimums. And for a recycling laborer, it's 38 cents more an hour than what we're paying him. So in order to come into compliance with that, especially in light of the fact it's not been noticed before, and we're going to have an audit this year because our federal threshold of federal dollars is up there. We need to come into compliance to whether it ever be noticed, but it's 38 cents an hour, and I'd rather, you know, be in compliance than not. So that's what it's all about.
Okay, thank you. And I should actually, before we go farther, I'm going to make the motion here. I move to approve a pay adjustment for the DRC manager operator of 38 cents per hour, bringing the pay from $25 to $25.38 per hour for a wage that is in compliance with the MPS commercial purchase agreement between the City of Gustavus and Glacier Bay National Park. So may I have a second, please?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been seconded by Councilmember Owens. Again, to approve the pay adjustment for the DRC manager operator of 38 cents per hour, bringing the pay from $25 to $25.38 per hour for a wage that is in compliance with MPS commercial purchase agreement between the City of Gustavus and Glacier Bay National Park. We'll open now for public comment since we've had the explanation already of what this is about. Do any members of the public wish to comment on this item before we bring it back to the council? Okay, seeing none, do any council members wish to comment on this? Okay, well, it looks like it's a pretty straightforward thing. And so, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Motion passes with all members in favor.
Okay, thank you. And we move on to item 10, which is the introduction of another NCO. And we don't have a final number on this. It looks like FYXXNCO introduction. It looks like it's, yeah, okay. It is FY24-02NCO. So we'll come back to the treasurer in a minute for an explanation of this one, but Vice Mayor, can you have a motion for us, please, on this one to get it started?
Yeah, I move to approve the introduction of FY24-02NCO capital project funding to AMLIP capital project current with a public hearing taking place on August 14th, 2023.
Thank you. May we have a second, please?
A second.
Dueling seconds again here. We have, it's been moved by Vice Mayor Bishop and seconded by Councilmember Lewis to approve the introduction of FY24-02NCO capital project funding to AMLIP capital project current with a public hearing taking place August 14, 2023. May we have a staff report from our treasurer, and he's got a microphone there at his desk he can speak from, I think.
Yes. So this is the NCO we spoke about at the work session. After giving it more thought, I decided to move all of the capital project funds that we had in the checking account back into the AMLIP accounts. The reasoning being that we'll be able to gain interest there instead where we are not gaining interest having it in the checking account. And I'm moving forward on finishing up that piece of the policy. But once I started doing the math, I realized that I'm going to have to move so much more money into AMLIP. It didn't make any sense to move part of the funds and keep some for the capital projects because I'm just going to have to move more to AMLIP with the end of the fiscal year. So that's what this NCO is. It's moving all of the capital project funds back into our AMLIP accounts.
Okay. City Administrator, did you want to add something?
Well, I just wanted to add that part of his reasoning was even if we do have some immediate projects that we're covering and that we're paying for, we have enough in the account to pay for those. And they just get, you know, they get accounted for out of those projects. It's just that we don't have to move money twice this way. And we're getting interest sooner. So that's an additional piece of that whole thing.
Okay, thanks for that. Do any members of the public wish to comment on this non-code ordinance to move money from our checking account to essentially to our savings account with AMLIP? Okay, seeing none, do any council members wish to comment on this item?
So this is more just as a question. Is if this seems to be a way to do it and to get then the interest, why wasn't this done all the time? Why was this, you know, it seems like it's like a no-brainer to keep the money in and take it out when you needed it. And why are we changing it now? Or I guess what's the pluses and minuses, I guess, versus the system versus the old one? And why was the old one in place instead of this one?
our treasurer.
Yes, so I can't speak to why the old policy was in place, except for that. It makes sense to say we're going to fund our capital projects out of our AMLIP accounts. And in order to do that, we have to do an NCO to move the money out of the AMLIP account into the checking account. And in the beginning, when the city had less revenue to pull from, it may have been essential that that money be moved from the savings account into the checking account. But the current state of the city of Gustavus's financial situation is, once a quarter, I could move $100,000 or $200,000 from our checking account into our savings account and still have enough money to pay the 35% that is recommended that we always have in our account. So over time, as the treasurers changed, they copied what the previous treasurer had done. And that happened all the way up to me. And that's what I did as well. And then when we started talking about why aren't we keeping this money here so that we can get the interest, it made sense to me to create a policy that would do what the council was asking. And in the process of doing that, I realized really all I'm doing is I'm moving money here, which takes 2 months, and then I'm moving money back, which takes 2 months, and I'm constantly doing this. So if we were going to do a $500,000 capital project, we might need to move some money out of our account just to bulk up our checking account. But for a $39,000 project, it's just unnecessary. So it's just a matter of, to answer your question, I guess would be that I believe that they were just copying each other. And that's, once we looked into it, we realized that wasn't necessary, that there was a better way.
Okay, great. Thanks for that explanation.
Mm-hmm.
I think I could add one thing to that too, and that, for a couple of things, this really is an improvement in how we handle our cash flow and make more money off it. It used to be AMLIP had very little interest. The interest rate was really low years ago, and I think the councils thought it didn't make much difference whether it was in AMLIP or the checking account, but occasionally they did move money into AMLIP. But now there's a lot of interest to be earned, and we're going to make the most of our money to earn some of that. So, any other questions, Shelley?
Can I assume that we don't require an NCO to move AMLIP funds from one of such as between a reserve, a repair and replacement, capital improvement?
Moving money anywhere requires an NCO. So moving money from reserve to long-term capital improvement would require an NCO. I don't, without the authority of the council, I can't move money from any account into any other account. And that was the purpose of changing the policy originally when we first started talking about the purpose of it, but the way we were going to do it is we were going to double up on our NCOs so that when you approve the project, you approve the funding, we move the money from capital long-term into capital current, and we also move it from capital current into the checking account. And you've now given me the authority to move the money into the current account where we could have it allocated as a capital project. And when it needed to be used to pay for the project, I would have had the authority to move it into the checking account to pay for the project. But once I started thinking about it, I realized I don't need the $39,000 in the checking account ever, because I've got $39,000 in the checking account. I'm going to be moving back into AMLIP reserve, long-term repair and replace, or something at least once a quarter. So does that make sense?
Okay.
And in the process, just for the record, the process isn't done, but I am glad that we waited to do it all at once, because by doing it that way, we're working out the bugs as we go along, rather than doing a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, and then realizing that this fixed a problem we didn't know we had, and having to start over on the beginning of the policy.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or any other comments on this before we go to? Okay, Yes, Councilmember Taylor.
So I've appreciated Ben's candor on this in kind of helping us and me understand exactly how, you know, we have money flowing in and we're moving it into AMLIP to try and get the best on this. Because I think that's been a little bit oddly difficult for me to kind of wrap my head around the flow of funds. I'm kind of imagining static dollars on a spreadsheet or something. But I wanted to just point out for anyone who hasn't done the quick math on this that the AMLIP investment pool's current rate, we're going to pull $12,000 a year, which is $1,000 a month as soon as this is actually into our account. So these little things really do help shore up the budget because that's not money that we budgeted. So just extra padding, basically. So thank you for doing this.
Good point. Okay, any other comments? Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Councilmember Makowiak?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens? Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all members in favor.
Hey, thank you.
Point of order question. Wasn't that an introduction?
Yes.
We would vote on it next month, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Okay. That's correct.
Do we vote to introduce it?
Yeah.
This.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we still have to, we have public hearing on the actual thing next month. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I thought, for a second, what did we do there? So, okay. That brings us to city council reports. Before I give my mayor's report, I'd like to ask if any other council members wish to make a report on anything they're working on, projects that you'd like to give us an update on. Jim, did you want to add anything on that bike path or? Okay. You had something?
I just wanted to say it. Mike asked me to contact Sal about getting that used beach wheelchair. And I emailed the contact I have. I haven't heard back yet, but I emailed saying we were interested in it.
Okay, good. Good. Well, it'd be fun to try that out and see
if we can get it. The point, I did have a comment from a community member asking if we had them because they had a visitor at their lodge, which would have used it had we had that. So I thought that was something reinforcing that if the word is out there, that we're thinking about it and that people actually have visitors who were wanting to use it.
Good. Okay, any other? Okay. I don't need to go over and read the whole thing. And Kathy did cover a lot of stuff that I've got written in here too. And in many cases, more detail than I had. So. It really has been a busy month, and I want to add my thanks to Kathy's for everybody in the staff who's been helping cover the desk here and keep the doors open for the public coming in for boat permits and payments and all kinds of things. Notary service. And so that's especially been Kathy Leary, Ben Sadler, Charity Smith was here in her temporary position, Chief Martinez, and Marine Facilities Coordinator Larry Platt were all really helpful in answering the phones and all that when we've been short staffed. It was a great pleasure to see the big turnout for Paul Berry's retirement celebration. We had quite a crowd at the park. And thanks again to Sol Martinez for his, for cooking all of the burgers, hot dogs, and all that. It was really great. And it was I thought, a very fitting send off for Paul and to acknowledge that his tremendous contribution to our community over the last 30 years at the DRC. As Kathy mentioned, we're reopening our the clerk position. I'm sorry that it ended up not working out for Charity and her family to take that position after all. And so we will be recruiting. And if any of you have any suggestions to somebody to apply for the position who would be qualified and good to serve in it, by all means, please encourage them. And we thank Larry Paul for pleased to have him new in the system since the start of the last month on our staff, and it's great to have him on board. And he's picked up a lot of maintenance chores, some of which he mentioned and some he didn't, such as mowing the grass at the old post office before the 4th of July. So I made that look a lot better down there. Kathy covered the septage storage and pumping operation. I'm glad to see that going, being successful so far. 4th of July was a great success, and there are just loads of people to thank for that. Robin Jones for getting it, for organizing all the events. The very public spirited work crew from the LDS Church for cleaning up the park and trimming the grass and everything and making it look great. And they did it a couple of days early so that it could be in good shape for Paul Berry's retirement party and the Independence Day celebration. So really looked good. Thanks also to Meadowbrook and Ann Wildman and the garden volunteers for planting the flowers and the flower beds out there. And hanging the baskets. Jen Landry grew the plants and prepared those flower baskets, and they've all brightened up our town for the 4th of July and for the rest of summer. We're trying to keep them watered now is the challenge. I would like also to express my appreciation of Glacier Bay Construction for getting our roads in great shape. As soon as we had our new budget on the 1st of July, they hit the roads with the grader and really got them in good shape for all the people that were coming to visit. And I thought it made our town pleased with that. The Salmon River Park play equipment has been so we made a major step here in meeting the vision of Karen McSpadden's Gustavus School classes, who first came last fall and asked or suggested that the park equipment could be upgraded to improve opportunities for play for older kids. And so we're moving forward now to help them achieve the vision that they brought to us. And we've chosen the products from ExerPlay, and you'll see in my report there a picture of the main piece of it in the colors that we chose. And I thank Megan Park or Morgan Park. I got that error and typed it wrong in my report here. Morgan Park for helping go over the color palettes with me and come up with colors that would sort of, I guess I could say, rhyme with those at the other end on the existing swing set, which is yellow, blue, and red with red uprights. So we thought this color palette would be good. There's also a what's called a Revy spinner that you don't see in the picture that's primarily blue, on this color, blue and yellow in this color palette, and it will go alongside with this. I've included in my report here that I had a discussion with David Olney of the Bear Track Inn, who dropped by towards the end of last month to discuss with me the Falls Creek Hydro Road issue. I think many of you are aware, many of you are actually hikers on the Hydro Road, so you're familiar with with the importance to our community, to the public, of having that facility available for our recreation and exercise. It's a recreational and health benefit for the community that's been really valuable. The Olney's position has been that the easement is not public, and they have been taking a position that they would like to restrict public access and require people to sign a permission form. They cite concerns about liability, community growth, becoming that it might become a freeway, as he put it. And they also had some unfortunate events with somebody vandalizing a garage that's off of that road, and also a case of ATVs obnoxiously racing up and down the road loudly and annoyingly one evening. Those were some of his reasons for wishing to control access in a way that has not been controlled. We had David and I have different views about the easement and what the easement wording means. I told him I was certainly supportive that there should be that people, recreational users of the road who are going up the road to hike in the hydro area, should fully respect the properties on both sides. There should be no impact. They should stay on the road, and there's no reason for or justification for anybody having an impact on the properties along there. But I did not agree with him that that the easement did not allow for public access. And so we cordially agreed to disagree on that. It was a cordial discussion, I'd have to say. And I appreciated that he came in and spoke with me about it. And I wished him the best for a successful summer. But we remain in of differing views on that. The PFAS sampling is continuing, and in fact, the Shannon Wilson crew is here, has been here doing monitoring wells in Gustavus for their July round under their contract with ADOT and PF. And while they are here, they are continuing their separate contract they have with the city to check for PFAS concentrations in the waters of City Hall in the library and the community garden. And today they were here in City Hall running, drawing their samples from our system. We're sampling both the raw water and the water coming out of the taps, so that if there is PFAS identified in the raw water, we can see whether it is being dealt with by the treatment that is in place already. That is mainly charcoal filtration, or in the case of City Hall here, an RO system, reverse osmosis. So as soon as I get a report of this sampling, I gave you the report of what I had last time, and as soon as we hear back from them with the analytical results, I'll pass that on to the council, and we hope they continue to be as encouraging as they were last time. Kathy covered the beach park improvement and the issues. And since I drafted this last week, as Larry pointed, we've had some more incidents there. Tomorrow we'll be placing more logs along the margin of Dock Road, stretching from the asphalt pullout north up to about 300 feet up to the boundary with the DeBoer property, which makes it just a little harder for people to drive around those roads and across the meadow. I don't know if that's going to stop it, but we're doing everything that we can to make it, well, I guess to provide some guardrails for some folks whose driving skills haven't got to where they can keep the vehicle on the road. We would like to encourage people to please respect the will of the general public here in making the beach park natural area that where we don't drive vehicles and damage the vegetation. And I think we're getting there, but sometimes we do have these setbacks. We'll continue to make it as clear as possible that that's not acceptable. And we're looking into opportunities for enforcement if we need to go that far. Hope we don't. And I guess that's about it for my report, unless you have any questions about what we've been doing. Yeah. Council Member Muscovy.
A little addition here. And this is from May of Diary.
This on the Hydro Road.
It is, yeah. And I'm sorry, I'll have to find this again. I just turned my phone off.
Yes.
So I can't remember what you said last week at our work session about what is happening to settle this easement issue. Is the state involved? Is the AP&T involved? Do you know what's happening? What else is happening in that?
Yeah, it's frustrating. We continue to ask AP&T to take action in support of what we believe is the public's interest, which we think is clear and more important than any private interest, especially when there seem to be no impacts to them. Well, David Olney would disagree with me on that, but they have, whenever we followed up and asked them, Darren Belisle, who's the general manager for our area, is assigned to work on that. And he has said, we are diligently working on coming to a solution. And they haven't got there yet. We believe that their FERC permit requires that there be public access. We have a copy of the road maintenance or road management plan and the recreation plan required for the construction of the project, and those plans call for assuring public access along the easement. And those plans were actually written before the easement. So in our view, that was the intent of Gustavus Electric using the easement from three landowners. The Olneys were one. They cut on the side of the road. So we believe that was always the expectation, was always the intent of the project. Public access is required as impacts of the project. Our position has been, we would like AP&T to state that clearly and say that they are granting the public access to the easement. The state, we've also asked the State Division of Mining, Land, and Water, Caitlin Raffier, is the new manager, to address it from the state standpoint, because the state is also a party to the agreement. The easement is granted to Gustavus Electric Company, now AP&T, the state of Alaska, the Nobles, and the Schrank families, their agents, employees, grantees, and assigns. And so we think the state also has the ability to grant that access. The state is so far cautious about taking a position on that. And I have another meeting with them next week that's scheduled with Caitlin and her boss that she set up. And we have forwarded them the approved plan in which the state of Alaska also, in commenting on the road management plan and the recreation plan, emphasized the importance of public access to the land up there. So we hope that the state will continue to support that. That's the division that deals with easements and also defends public access to state lands. But easements are very complicated and they look at them carefully. They may have a different view than I do. The state or the National Park Service has an interest in this because the road leads to or provides access to national park lands. As you're aware, the Park Wilderness Management Plan, newly approved, includes the possibility of developing a trail there from that road up to the ridge. And also already people are using that route to access the Yellow Lake Savannah. And there are two trails that were that are in the recreation management plan for that reason, to provide access to the park. So I have a meeting scheduled with Tom Schaff. He's aware of this issue and is concerned about it. And we have a meeting Friday on that, or Thursday, I think. Jim, did you want to add to that?
Sure, I found my little 14 words, and this is from Jason Kessler, Vice President of APC. The FERC license requires public access as part of operations. Public access is non-negotiable.
So, and that was Jason's, he looked into it sort of independently, you know, for us, and but the AP&T has assigned Darren Belisle to be the point person on that. So Jason isn't saying that he is speaking as the official determination of AP&T. I think you can say.
And safely. We periodically ask Darren Belisle how progress is, and he says we're working diligently on this, and we expect to have an answer promptly. And then a month later, we ask him the same question. We've been doing that for 3 months now.
So there is some frustration. Okay. Any other questions on that or any other aspects of the report? We've got an hour and a half now, so. Okay, then are there any other city council questions or comments on things other than, beyond the report thing? Something else you wanted to comment on, thought we ought to do? Ideas, things you've heard from the public? Vice Mayor.
I'd just like to comment and reemphasize the tail end of your report, especially about the beach park, about our community being the largest in Alaska without a local police function, and that we'd all like to keep it that way. This is something that's kind of, I've had various members of the public talk to me about this issue, in particular the beach itself, and then raise the issue of the law enforcement topic. And I think you summarized that really well there. And I'd just like to reemphasize that part if we can, really.
Thank you. I see our city administrator reaching for the mic.
I forgot to include in my report, thanks to Karen Platt for continuing to come in. She was training the clerk, and
indeed,
the clerk's no longer here, and she continues to come in and assist. So we are very grateful for that.
Boy, isn't that true? So thank you, Karen. Councilmember Driscoll.
Just have a question. Is there any update on the hire of the library position?
We have interviews scheduled for this week. We had to put it off one day for one and one for the other. And so it'll be done by Thursday.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. That brings us to the second opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items. We got at least one member of the public still online. Nobody else in the room. Do any members of the public wish to have a comment on a non-agenda item? Okay, seeing none, since we do not have the executive session that we had originally planned, we can move to adjournment. And we'll adjourn at 8:31, I guess it is. Thank you, everybody.